You're listening to a sermon from Darebin Presbyterian Church. Visit us online for more resources or to get in touch.
What are you willing to be rejected for? I like to get a lot of my clothes from the op shop, and I like to think I'm pretty good at finding some fun and unique items. However, I'm not always the most careful about checking the quality of these clothes before I buy them. Often I get home, I wash them, I try them on, and there's a big hole. Why? Because what people think of what I wear doesn't really matter to me. I'm willing to be rejected for what I wear. That doesn't matter. What are you willing to be rejected for? When Alex and I got engaged, some people didn't approve. We were told that we were too young, we didn't have enough money, that we were making a bad decision. Those comments really hurt, but they didn't change our plans. I was willing to be rejected for marrying Alex because I love her. What are you willing to be rejected for? This year and next year, I'm doing a ministry traineeship at La Trobe University. The previous 2 years, Alex did a similar thing here at church. And now this is not a good financial decision for us. When we told people this was our plan, we were told it was dumb, that churches were closing, that Christianity doesn't have a future. However, I've experienced God's love, and I'm convinced that knowing God is what people need. It's good for people. That meeting Jesus is what is best for them. And I want to be involved. I want to help others meet Jesus. I want to be involved in what God is doing. I'm willing to be rejected for participating in God's life and in his mission because he loves me. What are you willing to be rejected for? Are you willing to be rejected for participating in God's love, life and mission? We need to think about this. This year we've been going through Mark. We've been seeing why it is good to follow Jesus. Is following him worth being rejected? In Mark 8, Jesus will tell his disciples, his followers, that this is not an optional part of following him, that whoever wants to be his disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. We need to think about this as a church. We've recently moved into this great new building. We have spent a lot of money and have a list of things that we still want to do. Why? Why are we here? Are we here together to be involved in God's life, to participate with him in his mission for the northern suburbs of Melbourne? Are we willing to be rejected, willing to sacrifice as we participate in God's life and mission? As we look more at Mark 6, it's my prayer that we'll see that knowing Jesus as the King who willingly faces rejection for us allows us to take up our cross and follow him. Knowing Jesus as King allows us to be rejected for his kingdom and for his mission. Let's look together at these three linked stories in Mark 6 and see how Jesus is the rejected King who calls us to follow him. Verse 1 says, Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. Why do you think Mark highlights that Jesus is accompanied by his disciples? Of course they're there. They've been with him since the start, when they left everything to follow him. Why would anything be different now? Why wouldn't they be with him? I think Mark highlights this because what happens in Nazareth is important for the disciples to see and to continue to understand the sort of king they are following. Jesus is not the king they were expecting, the one who would overthrow the Romans with military might. He's the rejected king. So if we too are following or interested in following Jesus and understanding what it means to be his disciple, we also need to pay attention to what's going on here. So what is the important thing Mark is highlighting? It's Jesus' rejection. When Jesus starts teaching in verse 2, like most people that have encountered and heard Jesus, the people of Nazareth are amazed at his wisdom. However, they then, verse 3, start to ask some questions. They're suspicious. Isn't this the guy that we saw grow up, the boy that was born when Mary got pregnant before she was even married, the handyman's son? How could he have this divine wisdom? Why should he be telling me about the kingdom of God? They are offended by him and his call. Because they are familiar with Jesus, the people of Nazareth concluded that Jesus can't be from God, that they weren't going to listen to him. They reject him. It says in verse 5 that Jesus could not do any miracles there. Now, this can't be because somehow they made Jesus less powerful, but instead I think points to the level of rejection Jesus faced here. Jesus is not able to help because instead of coming to him in faith, the people who might have needed Jesus' miracles rejected him. Verse 6, Jesus is amazed at their lack of faith. What does Jesus do in the face of this rejection? He doesn't hide or reconsider his plan. He doesn't retaliate and put people in their place. He instead sends out the 12. He invites them to be rejected too. However, before we have a look at that, let's look at what Mark tells us about the earthly king at the time, Herod. Did you notice that Mark inserts a flashback story here? He tells us in verse 14 that as the disciples go out, Jesus' name becomes so well known that Herod hears about him. And because of that, Herod remembers a prophet that he had beheaded some time ago. John the Baptist was arrested in chapter 1, just as Jesus started his ministry. It's likely that John was beheaded closer to chapter 1 than chapter 6, which I think should make us ask, why is Mark including this story here instead of when it happened chronologically? I think he's doing this for a couple of reasons. It draws a sharp contrast with who Jesus is as king, with how the king of the area acts and deals with rejection. Mark has been showing us since chapter 1 that Jesus, with Jesus' baptism and coronation, the type of king he is. In chapter 6, we continue to see how Jesus is willing to face rejection to bring his kingdom. Now we see how different Jesus is to the earthly king and the kingdom Herod is trying to bring. Mark tells us in verse 20 that Herod was interested in John's message of repentance and forgiveness. Even when John tells Herod that what he is doing wrong is wrong, even when Herod's wife wants to kill John, Herod wants to protect John. Herod sees him as righteous and holy. However, even though this is what Herod thinks and believes, in verse 22, he makes a rash and public oath when he sees an attractive girl dance, which forces him to do what he thinks is wrong, what distresses him, and Herod beheads John. Herod does this so he won't be rejected by his people. King Herod uses people to meet his desires, which leaves him enslaved to them, controlled by them. King Jesus comes to serve people, to give his life for them. He's able to suffer and serve people because he is captured by a greater vision of love. He's willing to face rejection to bring about the will of the Father, and rejection won't stop him. Secondly, Mark includes the story of John's imprisonment and death as a signpost to Jesus' upcoming trial and crucifixion. When the man in power, this time Pilate, kills who he sees as innocent because he is controlled by the people. Mark wants us to know where this story is headed. Jesus is the rejected king. If we're going to follow him and be his disciples, we need to know this. Jesus has been rejected by the political powers, the religious leaders. He's been rejected by his family and now his hometown. Jesus will continue to face rejection from his disciples and ultimately from his eternal Father when he dies on the cross. On the cross, Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is the rejected king. Why? So that we can be accepted. Jesus doesn't deserve this rejection, but we do. We have all rejected God, tried to live as our own ruler and king. We've rejected the source of life and are in death. We need someone to be rejected, to face death and rejection from God for us to be accepted. This is what Jesus has come to do. He is the rejected king. What keeps Jesus going through rejection is not merely courage, but conviction. Jesus is deeply convicted that what he has come to do is good. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, knows and loves his world and has come to restore it and us. Hebrews 12:2 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is motivated to endure the rejection in his earthly life and on the cross because of the joy set before him, the joy of seeing sinners like us be forgiven and brought back into the family of God. Jesus wanted this so much that he bled and died for it. Bled and died for you. Jesus is the rejected king. This is Christianity. We need to understand this if we're going to follow him and be his disciples. We need to see Jesus on the cross being rejected, suffering for us so that we can be accepted. Jesus is displaying this to his disciples in Mark 6. Mark puts these rejection stories sandwiched between the 12 going out so that we can see it clearly, which leads us to the meat in the sandwich. In between these two rejection stories, Jesus invites his followers to suffer with him. Jesus is not only willing to face rejection for his mission, he invites and enables his followers to do the same. The disciples have so far been learning from Jesus and observing his mission. Jesus now prepares them to be actively participating in the mission and spreading of the kingdom. Verse 7 tells us that Jesus does this by sending them out in pairs, giving them authority over impure spirits and giving them specific instructions on what to take. In this, he equips them to become like him in what they say, what they do, and who they depend on. Or if you're someone that likes alliteration, declaration, deed, and dependence. Declaration, deed, and dependence. The 12 are sent out with Jesus' declaration, the good news of the kingdom of God, a call to repent, to turn around and follow the king. And people listened. That's why Herod learns about Jesus. And next week we'll look at Jesus feeding the 5,000, which is the fruit of the disciples' mission. 5,000 men heard the disciples declare Jesus' message, and they wanted more. Even in the face of rejection, there is hunger to be restored with God. Along with what they declare, the disciples also mirror Jesus' deeds. They go out and they heal people, they cast out demons. They're doing what they've seen Jesus do. The disciples are becoming like Jesus in declaration, deed, and in their dependence. What does Jesus tell them to take? It's not much at all. Jesus instructs them in verse 8 not to take money, food, or extra clothes, and instead to rely on the hospitality of the towns they are going to. How is this becoming like Jesus? Jesus, who is the eternal Son of God, left his heavenly home to be born into creation with nothing. He became dependent as a child and also as a man. We see that Jesus had the power to create food and money, yet he was supported by people because he and us are ultimately dependent on the Father. As the disciples go out with Jesus' declaration and deeds, he needs them to remember it's not about them and their performance, but they are dependent on the Father. As Jesus sends them out, he tells them to expect rejection, telling them what to do when they are rejected in verse 11, that they are to shake the dust off their shoes and keep moving. As they become like Jesus in declaration, deed, and dependence, they will also face the same rejection Jesus does. Why? Because the gospel message, the message we have to declare as Christians, is offensive. It is great and wonderful news of unconditional love and grace, but is also telling people that there is a king to follow, a king that loves them and has some things to say about how they live. Christians are declaring that people need to stop being kings over their own lives. And we've seen in Mark 6 that this can be hard to accept, even if you're like Herod and you find it an appealing message. The disciples go out, they are convicted that even though they will face rejection, that they will suffer. The kingdom of God is what people need to hear. Jesus is the king who is willing to be rejected for us. By his rejection on the cross, he calls us to belong to his kingdom, to follow him. Only by knowing him as king, not a familiar guy or a moral teacher, will enable us to face rejection. Because if Jesus, the eternal king, is willing to face rejection so that we can be eternally accepted, that gives us a new family, a new identity, that is not shaped or controlled by the acceptance of others. Through being accepted, we are able to participate in the mission. We are able to face rejection and join in the restoration work. What are you willing to be rejected for? Does knowing Jesus, the rejected King, enable you to hear his call to follow him? Maybe you don't know Jesus as King. You could be like the people in Nazareth who knew Jesus only as a local boy, which meant they couldn't see him as King. They couldn't listen to his call to be part of his kingdom. You may have grown up in church, hearing the stories about Jesus, and it's all a bit too familiar, a bit too mundane. When you hear something challenging in the Bible, you quickly dismiss it. You might come along to church, but you're not interested in what Jesus might have to say to you. Or you might be like Herod, who was intrigued with the message of forgiveness, finds it attractive. You might see Jesus as a holy and righteous figure, but at the end of the day, you don't want to give up your crown and your control. You might listen to Jesus, but you won't follow him. He can't change how you live. If either of these are you, or if you're somewhere else still trying to work out what it means to follow Jesus, it's great that you're here. Keep asking people who do know Jesus, who do follow Jesus as King, why they follow him. Jesus is calling you to be restored to himself, your Creator. I encourage you to keep listening to him, to answer his call, to follow the rejected King. Because only knowing Jesus as the King who willingly faces rejection for us will allow us to answer his call and follow him into rejection. Through Jesus' rejection, we're restored. We're invited to participate in God's life. We can know that we belong. When we look at Jesus, the rejected King, and see his great love for us, it captivates us. It changes us. We long to live for such a gracious and loving King and desire for others to know him too. Seeing the great love of Christ for sinners is what empowers us to be rejected for him and for his mission, to see others forgiven and welcomed into his family. Being a part of Jesus' kingdom means becoming like our King in what we declare, do, and our dependence. It means getting involved in his mission. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." As Christians, we have been brought out of darkness into light, into God's kingdom. Therefore, we have an important, great message to declare as God's priesthood. Is this evident in your life? This verse in 1 Peter has been my lock screen this year because I want to keep reminding myself of who I am through the cross and the message I have to declare. Because I find myself trying to be king over my own life instead. I forget that I'm no longer in darkness, but I have such a wonderful message of salvation I've received and I get to share. Can you relate to that? Do you follow Jesus, yet there are people in your life that don't know about the joy and the hope that you have in your restored relationship with God? How can you become more like Jesus in what you declare? We have news to declare, and we also reflect our King in what we do. It's a different time from Mark 6, when the disciples went out. I don't think we're all currently called to cast out demons and anoint the sick. However, if we have been restored to God, if we're in his kingdom, I think that should lead us to do some things. Philippians 2 says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by becoming like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." Being united with Christ will compel us to love and serve people. We'll care for others with our deeds as we reflect our King. As Christians, we declare and do some things, not to build ourselves up, but as people who are dependent. God is the one who has the power to provide for all our needs and is the only one who can change people's hearts. As Christians, we are dependent, which is hard, isn't it? I often find myself wanting to fix things myself rather than being dependent. I want to be able to point to things and say, I did that. I at times want to be king. So like the disciples went out with not much, I find it helpful to find ways to live out my dependence, to remind myself I am accepted by the king, I don't need to be king myself. A couple of weeks ago, Adam preached about Sabbath, which is a word that means ceasing or stopping. I find this helpful. I find ceasing once a week for a whole day a helpful way to live out my dependence, to remind myself I don't need to build up my kingdom. I am dependent. Another helpful tool is our 2 for 2 prayer cards, praying 2 minutes a day for 2 people who don't follow Jesus. This is important. If we want people to meet Jesus, we need to be dependent on God to work in their hearts. As we live in God's kingdom, as we participate in his life, love, and mission, we will be rejected. The world does not know Jesus, therefore does not know us. It's important to expect rejection. Otherwise, when we are rejected, we might crumble or explode. However, do we, like the disciples, need to brush off the dust of our shoes when our friends might reject the gospel? I don't think so. That's a bit odd. But I think probably more commonly, when our friends reject the gospel, do we never talk to them about it? Again, no. I think the disciples' mission was for a specific time of short-term mission. When we are rejected for what we declare, I don't think we need to keep arguing until we wear someone down, nor do we stop declaring. We're dependent. We don't change people's spiritual state. Only God does. So while people reject us, we can continue to love and serve them. Do you know Jesus as the rejected King who calls you to take up your cross and follow him? Does your relationship with Jesus make you long to become like him in declaration, deed, and dependence? Lastly, what does all this mean for us as a church? What might it look like for us to be a church to know and be transformed by Jesus, the rejected King? We should be a community that shows each other our King in what we declare, what we do, and who we depend on. If we're going to be in a world that doesn't get us, that rejects us, as we gather each Sunday, we need to declare to one another the gospel. What's so much more effective than my phone background screen is when someone tells me, Tim, you've been brought out of darkness, you are secure in God's family, stop looking at yourself. Jesus was rejected for you, keep going. We need to keep actively declaring the gospel to one another. We need to be caring for one another in our deeds. We're united in Christ together. How can we be serving each other in our deeds? How can we be more open about what we do need with each other, allowing each other to serve us? And in all this, we need to remember and live out our dependence. We've been saved by grace. Everything we have has been provided by our generous God. Let's not be tempted to build up the kingdom of Darabin Prezi. Instead, be dependent and lead people to our rejected King. What are you willing to be rejected for? Have you been accepted by Jesus, the rejected King? Are you ready to take up your cross and follow him? Let's pray to our loving God and depend on him as we seek to follow him. Father God, thank you for King Jesus, your Son, who came to earth to be rejected for us. Help us to know and experience your love more and more. I pray for clarity for anyone who doesn't follow you, doesn't know you as King. I pray that they would see your love for them clearly. Help us to hear what you were saying to us today. I pray your love would overflow in our lives as we take up our cross and follow you. In your Son's name, I pray. Amen.